So the White House is leaking that deficit reduction will likely be the main topic in President Obama's State of the Union address in January, deficit reduction. And they say creating more jobs will be job one in the new year. But in the short term, at least, those goals are at odds. Did you see the scary debt numbers in the lead New York Times article yesterday? And I mean scary. The premise was that all that stimulus spending and bailout money is actually working to stabilize the financial system and make unemployment not as widespread as it would otherwise be, but at the cost of a federal debt load that will triple in the next few years. It said federal debt payments would soon surpass everything we now spend on both wars, education, and energy combined. And just as baby boomers begin to retire and stress the Medicare and Social Security systems. But economists are divided on what this should mean, especially with jobs still so scarce. So let's get two views on more stimulus for jobs in our horrible unemployment situation versus more focus on debt and the future in that respect. My guests are Robert Kuttner, co-founder of the American Prospect, and author of Obama's Challenge, America's Transformative Presidency, and Joshua Gordon, policy director for the Concord Coalition, which focuses largely on deficit and debt. Joshua Gordon, welcome to WNYC. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
And Robert Kuttner, welcome back.
Great to be with you again.
First, Dr. Kuttner, do you each think the stimulus and the bank bailouts have been working to stabilize employment and the financial system? Can we declare these policies more or less a success?
No. I think the stimulus was certainly necessary, but it wasn't sufficient. At the time the stimulus was enacted, Obama's team forecasted unemployment would peak at 8.8 or 8.9%. It's 10.2% and still rising. If you count people who have given up looking for work or who are involuntarily working part-time, it's over 17%. Businesses are just not hiring because the recovery is too fragile.
So from your perspective, the stimulus was too small and is not a success on that basis. What about the bailout?
Well, I think it was absolutely necessary, but I think we need more of it, and we can talk about that further in a moment. I think the bailout was done wrong. I think the strategy was to prop up insolvent institutions rather than do an honest accounting and clean them out and get a fresh start. And the result of this is that banks that are nominally okay but that are really suffering very weak balance sheets are not extending credit to the rest of the economy. They're buying treasury bills. And so what you have is a paradox of very cheap money combined with very tight credit. And I think the team that Obama mostly inherited from Bush, when he should have really brought in a whole new team, Geithner and Bernanke and Summers, who he inherited from Clinton, they basically did business as usual, plus throw a lot of money at it. And I think Wall Street's doing fine, but the rest of the economy is suffering.
All right. Now, I want to move as quickly as we can to the future, but just to get the two of you on the table, Joshua Gordon, same two questions, bailout and stimulus, a success in your view?
I mean, I think doing what the programs intended and then judging whether they're successful, I think, are two different things. I think the programs did what they were intended to do. The stimulus bill certainly propped up growth and will continue to do so, at least for a little while. The question is whether they were enough or did enough to both get us out of the recession and then also set the table for a switch to a more responsible fiscal policy over the long term. And I don't think they did that.
Now, Robert Kuttner mentioned the paradox of cheap money and tight credit. Is that also something that concerns you? And explain that to our listeners who may be confused by the term. How can we have cheap money and tight credit at the same time?
Well, I think the tight credit represents an unwillingness for the lending to take place, even though people can borrow at very cheap interest rates. And that's really just representing the softness of demand in the economy. If people aren't spending, businesses aren't investing, it doesn't matter how cheap it is to get money if you can't get it, or even if you can get it, you're not willing to invest it because you know the demand isn't there to support whatever you would be investing in. So that's really the major economic problem we're dealing with right now.
Any different take on that, Bob Kuttner?
Well, I think it's both the lack of demand and also for credit, but it's also the skittishness of bankers. I mean, if you have a really wounded balance sheet where a lot of the assets that you have on your books are bonds that have that you couldn't sell if you wanted to sell them because they're not worth their book value, and then somebody comes in asking for a loan, you want that customer to be absolute blue chip. And a lot of small businesses are reporting that their lines of credit are being tightened, that they have great difficulty getting loans because the banks are so skittish.
So this is where the federal debt question, I think, comes in, because that front page New York Times story yesterday that inspired this conversation begins by saying this: the United States government is financing its more than $1 trillion a year borrowing with IOUs on terms that seem too good to be true. That's the cheap money. But that happy situation, aided by ultra-low interest rates, might not last much longer. And then it goes on to say the White House estimates that the government's tab for servicing the debt will exceed $700 billion a year in 2019, up from $200 billion a year, even if annual budget deficits shrink drastically. And then they make that comparison that I referred to in the intro about the combined federal budgets this year for education, energy, homeland security, and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan being less than the debt service in a few years. So, Robert Kuttner, does this not concern you as the federal government decides whether to throw more money at job-creating stimulus and things like that?
Sure it does. And I think we can probably agree on one thing and disagree on one thing. I feel quite passionately that we need to be having a deeper deficit in the short run to get the economy back on track. I mean, if you just take the state fiscal crisis, state budgets are going to be in a three-year hole of almost $500 billion. That almost completely undercuts all of the macroeconomic effect of the federal stimulus, because state governments are raising taxes in a recession, they're laying off workers in a recession, they're cutting jobs in a recession. That's crazy. So I think in the short run, you need more stimulus spending for jobs, for emergency state fiscal relief, and then over time, you absolutely need to pay down the debt. This is what happened after World War II. We incurred massive deficits to win the war, which had the side effect of generating recovery. And then in the 30 years after World War II, we gradually paid down the debt. And I think that's the trajectory we need to repeat. But
so,
we don't need to conclude that with 10.2% unemployment, paying down the debt now is more important than a recovery. That would be crazy.
Joshua Gordon, is it your position that paying down the debt now is more important than throwing more money at the recovery?
I wouldn't want to throw money at the recovery, but if there's a smart way to invest more in job creation now, I think that's the way to go, as long as it's paired with the plans and the forethought for how we're going to lower the debt burden in the future. And I think the parallels to World War II are important, because you had this debt held by the public of about 100% of GDP by the end of World War II, and it was quickly brought down. The problem is, even if we assume the economy gets back on track and that there are no major world wars, we're facing debt levels three times that over the next 30 or 40 years because of the unsustainability of our entitlement programs and the lack of revenue to support such increased entitlement spending. And that's really what we can focus on now. We can do that at the same time that we're worried about government measures to blunt some of the effects of the recession.
Hello.
So what does that mean, Joshua Gordon, in terms of what kind of spending you think the government should undertake next? Because a lot of people may hear this emerging consensus that the two of you at least agree on this point, that the stimulus spending has done what it set out to do. Bob Kuttner says not enough, because, you know, we still have high unemployment because they haven't spent enough on stimulus. But what does that mean to do next, in your opinion, with the 10.2 official unemployment rate?
I mean, I think aid to the states makes sense. I think the concern there is that there's no guarantee the state governments are going to do the responsible thing once this passes, or the responsible thing even if they're given aid now, whether they're going to use that to prevent the layoffs and prevent the tax increases and how that's going to work. I think that's a big issue with continually providing aid to the states is that there's no path for how states don't get used to getting that federal help. And then, I mean, I'm sure the economists can come up with some other very effective stimulus programs. I think we kind of have a general idea of what works better than others. But again, I think at this point, the American people are quite worried about the debt, and so are members of Congress. And so I think any attempt to do more investment and stimulus now to help the economy probably has to be paired with some acknowledgement of the long-term fiscal situation and some means to really start dealing with it, because you can lower those commitments over the long term while at the same time propping up the economy in the short term.
So, Dr. Kuttner, you're President Obama. It's the State of the Union address next January. You get up there and you say, American people, we are concerned about two primary challenges tonight, job creation and the federal deficit. And 300 million Americans stare back at their television sets and go, huh? What do you tell them you're going to do?
Well, let me be clear about where I disagree with the Concord Coalition. I mean, President Obama needs to be very specific about what he's going to do to put Americans back to work. And I think Josh is right. You need to condition emergency fiscal relief to the states on the states doing certain things, like not laying off people and expanding projects that create jobs rather than reducing them. I think the deficit over the long run needs to be addressed not through the gimmick that the Concord Coalition and its allies on Wall Street are promoting, which is an entitlement commission that would create some kind of an automatic formula to reduce Social Security and Medicare over time. First of all, that's anti-democratic. We elect Congress to do that. And secondly, Social Security has already taken a hit. The real benefits compared to 25 years ago, compared to lifetime income, are lower than they were. And everybody's 401k has taken a huge hit. The only really reliable source of retirement income, given what's happened to the pillaging of pensions, is Social Security. So I want to shore up Social Security. I don't want to cap it. And I think the solution to medical spending over the long run is true universal health insurance. That's the only way to really cut costs. So I think we should not mistake the deficits that have been induced by a recession, which are very serious, for a long-term crisis in social insurance, which I think has been trumped up by people who don't like social insurance.
We're going to run out of time soon, but I want to go back to something you said earlier, Robert Kuttner, and that is that, in your opinion, the states are going about their debt and deficit problems in the wrong way by capping spending and laying off employees. That's counterintuitive to what certainly the discussion that's taking place in Albany right now is like, or in California. So how does the federal government debt issue, in your opinion, relate to state debt problems like California running out of money and bond raters threatening to downgrade New York if they balance, you know, their new deficit here with
right.
one shots? You know, a lot of the talk in the state capitals is they have to find a way to cut education and Medicaid, because that's where states spend money. Otherwise, they're going to go so deep into debt that they're going to have super long-term problems, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, states are constitutionally required to have balanced budgets every year. So they
can borrow. That's why New Jersey is in the shape that it's in today.
No, New
right?
Jersey's in the shape that it's in because the previous Republican governor, Christy Whitman, completely savaged their tax base. And what happens when you do that is states turn to borrowing. So if you have a constitutional requirement that you have to balance your budget every year, and you can only borrow so much money or your debt gets downgraded, you have no choice if you're Albany or Sacramento but to lay off people, cut services, and raise taxes. And it just happens that when the country's in a severe recession, those behaviors are counterproductive. That's why the feds have to come to the rescue. It's not a permanent rescue.
Can states get around it, or you're saying it's really up to the federal government because states have no choice?
Stuck. I mean, there was a piece in the paper yesterday. State revenues are down another 12%. States can't do what Washington does, use the deficit countercyclically, because they're not allowed to run deficits. And they're only supposed to borrow, you know, for capital improvement. They're not supposed to borrow to bridge over recessions. And that's why you need the federal government to play this role like it did in the 30s and 40s.
Joshua Gordon, last word.
Well, I would just point out that the fiscal challenge we have is in the entitlement program spending, and also in the fact that Americans are not used to paying taxes, and they don't like paying taxes, and politicians never seem to vote for tax increases. So what we need to do is both figure out what level of taxes is good for sustainable economic growth. And we also need to figure out what our spending priorities should be as a nation. Should it be in these social insurance programs? Should it be in investments in research and technology? We really need to look at the overall federal budget, figure out what we want to spend money on, and figure out how to raise the money to pay for it. And that's really the key, is achieving that balance over the long term and not just incurring more and more debt as we get to the future, and really hamstringing future generations' ability to decide for themselves what their budget priorities should be.
All right. A tough challenge for President Obama and for all of us going forward, and we will see how he balances the priorities of jobs in the short term and deficits in the long term. Joshua Gordon, Policy Director for the Concord Coalition. Robert Kuttner, co-founder of the American Prospect, which he founded along with liberal economists like Paul Krugman, and author of Obama's Challenge, America's Transformative Presidency. Thank you both very much for coming
on
with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up next, we will check out some of our recent uncommon economic indicators posted by you, including from the delivery room of a local hospital, from Fairway on the Upper West Side, even from the Yankees ticker tape World Series parade. And then we'll talk to the New York City Housing Preservation and Development Commissioner about whether Mayor Bloomberg's affordable housing programs can outrun market forces. Stay tuned.